beautiful explanation of how in this age of Kali Yuga, due to the greed of the heart, people are not only destroying their own opportunities for transcendental happiness, but also endeavoring to make it practically impossible for anyone. The soul, by its constitutional nature, loves Krishna. Vidyavanaya sampane brahmane gavihastini sunichaiva sapaki cha pandita samadarshana. Love for Krishna is the nature of every living being, because we are all part of Krishna. And to love Krishna naturally means to love every part of Krishna. And that means every living being. A self-realized soul sees everyone with equal vision, whether one be a saintly person or a low-born cheater, a criminal, or whether one be an elephant, a cow, or a dog. He sees that the eternal soul is present in all these various material predicaments due to our previous activities or karma. But essentially, every soul is our brother, our sister. Every soul is a part of our all-attractive, beloved Krishna. Therefore, devotees are always anxious to put themselves below everyone and to try to elevate everyone. His Holiness Sridhar Maharaj was explaining that the nature of a properly situated Vaishnava is he's always trying to stay under everyone and push them up. Whereas a materialistic person, whatever guise or dress that it may be in, is trying to stay on top of people by pushing them down. When Srila Prabhupada came to the West, he was on the highest platform, but he put himself underneath people of the lowest platform in order to push them up all the way back to Krishna. This is because he was seeing the spiritual potential in everyone and understanding how giving Krishna to others, serving others, is the true expression of our love for Krishna. Today is a very auspicious and holy day. It is the appearance day of Srila Gopal Bhatta Goswami and the disappearance day of Srila Ramchandra Kaviraj. To speak on these two great personalities and the incredible relationship they have with each other is a very sublime and wonderful topic in which we do not have time this evening. But we will discuss this subject matter at length on Friday morning at Srimad Bhagavatam class. And anyone who hears it submissively will become transcendentally enlightened and go back home, back to Godhead. But one very special attribute of Srila Gopal Bhatta Goswami was his unflinching desire to be the servant of the servant of the servant. He was born in a very, very high class of Brahmins of South India. In fact, the largest and one of the most famous temples in all the world is the Srirangam Temple near Tiruchirappalli. It is the biggest Vaishnav temple in the entire world, perhaps the biggest temple in the whole world. And His father and uncles were the head priests of that temple. And in those days, the head priest had the greatest recognition and respect of anyone. Lord Chaitanya came during the Chaturmasya to Sri Rangam, and there Gopal Bhatta, who was a small boy, engaged in very, very humble service to Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya gave him profuse blessings, which we will explain on Friday, and ordered him to go to Vrindavan after his mother and father left this world. His mother and father were very, very great devotees. They surrendered their lives to Lord Krishna and to the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. So Lord Chaitanya told him that you always remember Krishna and you serve your parents who are Vaishnavas throughout the rest of their lives carefully. When the parents were very old, they were so satisfied with their son that they blessed him, that we give you all blessings and permission. You go to Vrindavan and follow the order of the Lord. And then, chanting the holy name of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they both practically simultaneously left the world and went back to Godhead, and he went to Vrindavan. There, he was such a scholar, and he was such a very, very great devotee. Some of the greatest Vaishnavas in the universe were his disciples. One was Srinivas Acharya, who was actually, Lord Chaitanya explained to Rupa Goswami. He said, through you, I am giving all my divine power to reveal the message of bhakti through your books. And to Srinivas Acharya, I am empowered with all my divine mercy to distribute these books, make them known to the whole world. Srinivas Acharya was the principal disciple of Gopal Bhatta Goswami, and Ramchandra Kaviraj was the principal disciple of Srinivas Acharya. And the birth and activities of Ramchandra Kaviraj, anyone who hears it will simply be struck with wonder. So please come on Friday. Krishnadas Kaviraj was living at Radhakund in Vrindavan. And it was Lord Nityananda Prabhu's desire that he write the wonderful pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Vrindavan Das Thakur wrote very elaborately about the childhood pastimes of Lord Chaitanya and the leelas that he performed before he took sannyas. But Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains his pastimes after taking sannyas. He especially was instructed by Vedavyas himself to leave those for another devotee to describe. And the devotees of Vrindavan asked Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami to be that devotee. But a Vaishnava will never want to do anything without the blessings of other Vaishnavas. Because without the blessings of Vaishnavas, we do not have Krishna's power behind us. We may have our power, but our power has no possibility of changing a person's heart from material to spiritual. The power of no man can invoke love of God in the heart of another. It is only the power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead can do that. And that power comes through the disciplic succession and through the blessings of those souls who have surrendered their lives to the service of the Lord in humility and devotion. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami went to each and every Vaishnava and begged, please give me your blessings that I can do this work on your behalf as your servant. And the devotees were profusely showering blessings upon him. because they knew, due to his pure heart and his attentive hearing from Raghunath Das Goswami, he could perfectly present the life and teachings of Lord Chaitanya in the most accurate and spiritually potent way. He went to Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Gopal Bhatta Goswami, although he was one of the most prominent Goswamis, certainly Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was inclined to write several chapters in his great work about the beautiful, beautiful forms of devotion of Gopal Bhatta Goswami and make him famous throughout all the worlds forever. But Gopal Bhatta Goswami said, I give you blessings that you write Chaitanya Charitamrita under one condition. You do not say anything about me. No one should know anything about me. I am the most fallen. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, out of this etiquette, he could not disobey. So only in very rare occasions does he mention the name of Gopal Bhatta Goswami, but explains practically nothing about him. Here is a case of the humility of a Vaishnava. Someone is coming before him. Gopal Bhatta Goswami is not asking. Someone's coming before him and offering that I will make you famous forever. Immortal fame. People will be chanting your names and glories forever with love in their hearts. How many of you would like such a situation? Today we see in Indian homes, everyone has a picture of their father and their grandfather and their great-grandfather. And usually that's the arrangement of the father and the grandfather and the great-grandfather, because they don't want to be forgotten. Somehow or other, my body may die, but let my name live on. Let my prestige, let my good deeds be appreciated by all. This is the nature, the tendency of everyone, except a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava simply wants Krishna's name to live on. Doesn't want any credit or glory for himself. And let all the other Vaishnavas' glories be chanted forever. But as far as me, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami himself, he was an embarrassing situation to have to write this literature. He was in his 90s at the time. And what does he say about himself? Krishnadas Kaviraj says that I am more sinful than Jagai and Madhai. I am lower than a worm living in stool. I am, if anyone hears my name, they lose all the pious credits of all their previous lives. And if anyone speaks my name, he becomes sinful. In this state, he's falling at the feet of the Lord and his devotees in great humility and explaining that I am not writing this book. I have no right to write this book. But through the order of the Vaishnavas and their blessings, by their power, Krishna is speaking, even through me, taking no credit. Material world, people want to take credit even for what they do not do. But a true devotee, who's satisfied with love of God within their hearts, they want to give credit to everyone and expect none in return. Trinadapi sunichena tadorapi sahishnana amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. This was Gopal Bhatta Goswami's glory. So rare. But it is explained that Krishna was not happy with that arrangement. He was happy with Gopal Bhatta Goswami's unalloyed humility, but Krishna wanted him glorified. So another devotee who is a descendant of our disciplic succession, Narahari Chakravarti, in his Bhakti Ratnakar, he goes in much detail describing the life of Srila Gopal Bhatta Goswami. And the way he explains it is that Vrindavan Das Thakur didn't explain it for certain reasons. Krishna Das Kaviraj, out of etiquette, did not explain much about him. Just like sometimes the spiritual master, after he eats, he saves remnants to give to his disciple. You have, may have seen sometimes Srila Prabhupada or great souls, they eat from their plate and then their servant comes to take the plate away, but he takes something off the plate and hides it aside to give to someone else. In the same way, sometimes great souls especially don't disclose certain things because they want someone else to disclose it. The devotee always wants to glorify Krishna, and Krishna always wants to glorify his devotee. This is the transcendental competition of love. Srila Prabhupada, when he came to the West, almost every movement was named after its leader. Shivananda Mission, Aurobindo Mission, Maharishi Mahesh Yogi's Mission, everyone was named after the leader. Prabhupada named this the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. The devotees wanted to make Prabhupada prominent, but Prabhupada didn't want to be prominent in any way. He simply wanted to make Krishna prominent. In fact, there are some gurus who teach their disciples just chant my name. But Srila Prabhupada taught you just chant the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Prabhupada dedicated his life to make Krishna famous. He dedicated his life to make his guru famous, to make Narottam Das Thakur and Lochan Das Thakur and Srinivas Acharya, to make all the members of the disciplic succession famous. In fact, he dedicated his life to make every one of his disciples, grand disciples, great grand disciples, glorious and famous. In the mood of Gopal Bhatta Goswami and others, he wanted to come under and push everyone up. But ultimately, to such a soul, Krishna cannot resist from glorifying for the whole world, because it is their example that is the guiding light for all of us. Mahajano yena gatasa panta. The true path of dharma is to follow in the footsteps of those great souls who have surrendered their lives to the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained, the essence of religion will not be found in scriptures, will not be found in various types of debates or places where austerities are being performed. The essence of the scriptures are concealed within the treasure chest of the heart of those pure devotees who have surrendered their lives as the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. And through their activities, their words, and through their blessings only, can the pure truth of bhakti be revealed and the glory of Krishna. This should be our goal that we strive for. Not to be great devotees, but to help inspire, encourage, and push others up to be great devotees. Srila Prabhupada told us that his Guru Maharaj said if he could just make one person a pure devotee, then by that pure devotee's blessings, Krishna would be merciful to him. And Srila Prabhupada spoke in the same way. He gave his life simply to push everyone up. But the tendency that we have due to our conditioned nature is we want to be up and we want to keep others down somehow or other, through spreading some rumors or through gossip or minimizing something that someone has done. A devotee, a true devotee, takes the greatest pleasure in glorifying another's service and has nothing good to say about himself. And a misguided devotee takes great pleasure in glorifying his own activities and is in pain to hear the glories of others. This type of competition is detrimental to the very fiber of a spiritual society. Spiritual society is a society of those following in the footsteps of Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Srila Prabhupada, and the great acharyas, willing to do anything to push everyone back to Krishna, to encourage everyone. And that is where the nectar of the ecstasy of Krishna consciousness comes from. By taking a humble position to push others toward Krishna, inspiring others to come closer to Krishna, glorifying others for whatever service they are performing. Through this process, we can actually experience the higher taste, and we can experience pleasure when we chant the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Because the pleasure that comes by chanting Hare Krishna isn't simply by moving our lips and making sound vibrations. It isn't simply by chanting according to the regulations. This is necessary. Without that, nothing else can come. But the content of how Krishna will reveal himself through his name is to the degree he is pleased with us. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given the golden rule of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. Srinadapi sunichena tarorapi sahishnana amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. One should chant the holy name in a humble state of mind, thinking himself more lowly than a straw in the street, more tolerant than a tree, ready to offer all respect to others and to expect none in return. In this way, one can chant the holy name constantly. What does that mean, to chant the name constantly? You have to have such a taste. You have to be feeling ecstasy to chant the holy name constantly. Otherwise, it's impossible. When Haridas Thakur was chanting the holy name 300,000 times a day, and Maya personified came before him to try to divert his attention, he wasn't performing an austerity. He was simply immersed in ecstatic love. His consciousness was drowning in the ocean of prema, because that's what the name was revealing to him at each syllable. Why? Because he was the very embodiment of humility and tolerance. He was willing to give up his life and suffer brutal, terrible persecution just to give Krishna to others.